This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
Good morning. It is 8:05, 5 minutes after 8 o'clock, 73 degrees, partly sunny today, 40% chance of rain, maybe a shower, maybe a thunderstorm this afternoon. High today about 90, low tonight 68, high tomorrow only 80, so definitely chilling down. You might see some changes in the way you vote in future elections. Some say these proposed changes are not for the better. They call it an attack on voter rights. The Senate Rules Committee passed House Bill 589 yesterday. It's been in limbo since the House approved it several months ago. Now it's back and has been revamped to include provisions that go far beyond the initial controversial voter ID proposal. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
The long title of the voter ID bill is about restoring confidence in elections. Unfortunately, the actions of the legislature is not doing a lot for the confidence of our elected and political leaders in North Carolina. In fact, I believe it's diminishing that confidence significantly.
Matt Hughes, chair of the Orange County Democratic Party, says the new version of this bill will impact how North Carolinians vote on multiple levels. In addition to legislation requiring specific photo identification, it proposes to shorten the 2.5-week early voting period by a week and eliminate same-day voter registration during early voting, among other provisions.
In 2008, I think that the party that benefited the most from early voting were the Democrats. However, by 2012, everyone, Democrats, Republicans, independents, doesn't matter who you poll, they're supportive of it, they're supportive of expanding early voting. Convenient, it makes voting more accessible, and it really allows people to go in and vote at their convenience.
About 57% of votes casted in last fall's election in North Carolina were done during early voting, WREL reports.
It's really convenient to be able to also go and early vote and possibly change or update your registration or maybe register for the first time during the early vote period. And that's another thing that's removed from this bill, is you will not be able to do the same-day registration that is currently allowed under the law.
Hughes says he questions the motives behind this bill and feels that the legislature strategically waited for a ruling by the Supreme Court on the Voting Rights Act. Election law changes normally would have to be subject to authorization, but the Supreme Court's decision exempted North Carolina from federal review until a new process is created by Congress.
There's just a lot of bad ideas in this voter ID bill, which itself is just a terrible idea. And I think it really comes down to really maneuvering the electorate in a way that continues to perpetuate the status quo.
Some have criticized bringing this bill up during the final days of the legislative session, but Hughes says it's symptomatic of this General Assembly. Voting rights groups planted plastic pink flamingos in the lawn outside the legislative building Tuesday morning to remind North Carolina lawmakers that Florida reduced its early voting period in the 2012 election, cutting early voting from 14 to 8 days. According to state officials, this led to six-hour lines on the final day of early voting, and an estimated 200,000 Florida voters gave up without casting their ballots. If the Senate passes this bill, it will then have to pass in the House, where many anticipate disagreement over certain provisions. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Your local airport isn't closing, at least not yet. Horace Williams Airport is not going to close in spite of the media attention that was given to an item that was inserted as a rider in the budget bill that called for it to close August 1st. The consensus in the legislature is that this item was placed in the House budget bill as a bargaining chip with Senate Rule Chairman Tom Apodaca, who has a reputation as a strong defender of the UNC airport. There's currently no scheduled date for the closure of the airport. UNC plans to close it to make room for Carolina North, whose start has been delayed because of lack of funding. UNC's AHEC program has been moved to RDU, but it's still being used as an airport for private planes in Chapel Hill. Reporting by Chapel Hill News found teachers in the Chapel Hill Carborough City school system who complained that the MSL test not only had bad questions, but that the same test was given on different days over a three-week period. WCHL's Rand Norton has more.
Executive Director for Community Relations for the Chapel Hill Carborough City school system, Jeff Nash, says that issues with the measure of student learning tests are a statewide issue not a local school system issue, and he points to the testing on different dates as a source of the problem.
If one student takes the test on Tuesday and a friend takes the test on Friday, they may very well have a discussion about what was on that test.
Nash says that this is an even more troubling possibility given the technology modern students use.
This is even bigger because students can put things up on Facebook or they can tweet out the questions, and there's just a more widespread statewide conversation going on among students.
He says CHCCS is talking with the state's Department of Public Instruction to see if it could move forward with the MSL test being held on the same day in the future.
There may have to be some changes there. That's something that we're talking about and probably every school district is taking a look at.
Nash says students who took the MSL test were not required to sign an honor pledge. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Estes Drive in Chapel Hill has seen increased development lately concerning those gathered at Monday's Central West Steering Committee. This issue has been a concern for Chapel Hill parents, with surrounding roads becoming more difficult for students who bike or walk to school. One audience member spoke out about the inadequate crosswalks surrounding Elliott Road, while another pointed to the number of students who live close to the school but are driven instead of walking as a sign of how unsafe it is to walk to the schools. Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools Assistant Superintendent Todd LaFreeze says the traffic around Phillips Middle School will soon be too great for the crossing guard to handle. One crossing guard was previously hit by a car's side mirror on the surrounding roads. Long Range and Transportation Manager with the Department of Transportation, David Bonk, says part of the steering committee's actions is to see what can be done along Estes Drive to possibly hold off its metamorphosis into a purely commercial road.
Whether that should be a mix of uses that includes residential and commercial and office, or whether a single use such as residential.
LaFreeze, on the other hand, says that Estes Drive is already a commercial road.
Estes Drive and Estes Road feel as though it's part of the neighborhood, and in many ways, obviously, it is. It's a connector to all of that. But it's also, I think, an east-west corridor.
Bonk says that suggestions made in the steering committee, like more bike lanes and sidewalks, would help mitigate the number of drivings in the surrounding area.
Well, obviously, students age out of their walk, and new students come into the neighborhood. To the degree that we can formalize some of those paths and make them wider known, it'll help encourage more kids to use those.
LaFreeze says that any plan to make it safer for students to walk to the surrounding schools would have to include multiple ideas. He also points out that some of the problems are structural within the older schools in our community.
They do not have the same amount of kiss-and-go, parent drop-off space, and bus queue space as our newer schools have.
The next Central West Steering Committee meeting is July 30th at the Chapel Hill Public Library. It will start at 6 p.m. Legislation heading to Governor Pat McCrory's desk allows North Carolina charter schools to follow the lead of local traditional schools on criminal history checks for employees. A negotiated final version of the bill passed the House and Senate on Tuesday. The measure creates more rules to govern a growing number of public charter schools, but drops plans to create a separate panel to oversee them. The legislation would essentially retain an advisory commission already in place to make recommendations to the State Board of Education. The proposal retains the current requirement that at least half the teachers at charter schools meet state certification requirements. Earlier versions of the bill would have allowed charter school directors to decide whether to check job applicants for any criminal history. In other legislative news, North Carolina lawmakers have approved a bill greatly expanding where concealed handguns are legally allowed. The Republican-backed bill, approved by both the House and the Senate on Tuesday, allows concealed carry permit holders to take firearms into bars and restaurants and other places where alcohol is served, as long as the owner doesn't expressly forbid it. The measure will also allow concealed carry permit holders to store weapons and lock cars on the campuses of any public school or university. And guns will also now be allowed on greenways, playgrounds, and other public recreation areas. The final bill dropped a controversial provision that would have repealed the longstanding law requiring a background check and permit issued by county sheriffs for handgun purchases. The measure now heads off to Governor Pat McCrory's desk. And North Carolina lawmakers are honing rules that would govern underground natural gas drilling and encourage offshore oil drilling. The Senate gave final approval yesterday to legislation intended to spur the state's energy. It now goes to the governor. The measure removes an earlier idea to begin issuing permits in March of 2015 for underground gas drilling using a method called hydraulic fracturing or fracking. The existing law directs state agencies to craft rules for oil and gas exploration by October of 2014 and requires the legislature to act before issuing any permits. The legislation also directs McCrory to negotiate an offshore energy alliance with the governors of South Carolina and Virginia. Republican Representative Mike Stone of Sanford says lawmakers want to tell the energy industry that North Carolina welcomes drilling. WCHL News Time, 8:15, 15 minutes after 8 o'clock. Time for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you this morning by the Carolina Inn. Join them at the Carolina Crossroads Restaurant Bar each and every day for their exceptional daily features, menu specials, and hours at CarolinaInn.com. And don't forget, Friday's on the front porch, coming up Friday starting at 5 p.m. right there on the lawn. Now, with your morning traffic, here is Rand Northup.
Thank you very much, Ron. Still smooth traffic out there on the roadways, I-40, 15501, NC-54, and the Durham Freeway. Not reporting any accidents or delays at this time. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, be sure to give us a call, and you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. 919-967-8363 is the number to call. You can also tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Very well done. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by Elmo's Diner. Voted best breakfast and best kid-friendly by the Indy, Chapel Hill Magazine, and also by the readers of chapelboro.com. Elmo's Diner at Carmel Mall in Carborough. 73 degrees in Chapel Hill, 72 in Carborough. Partly sunny today, 40% chance of rain. That 40% chance of rain will be with us for a couple of days and nights. High today about 90, low tonight 68. High tomorrow about 80, which is about 10 degrees cooler than today. And then tomorrow night we'll get down into the low 60s. So definitely a cooling trend is on the way.
Wake up with Ron Stutz. And remember that we're your station for Carolina, uniquely qualified to bring you the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Good morning.
It is 8:17, and Carborough, one of the five candidates for Board of Aldermen, says the biggest challenge Carborough faces is a lack of development to diversify the tax base. WCHL's Aaron Keck reports.
One of the issues is that the town has a tax base which is based on mostly residential.
That's Al Vickers, who's running for one of three open seats this year on the Board of Aldermen. He's up against one other newcomer, Kurt Stolka, and all three incumbents, Randy Haven O'Donnell, Jacqueline Gist, and Sammy Slade. Vickers says the lack of development of the tax base leads to jobs and residents going to other parts of the state. In fact, he says his own friends have left for those reasons.
Once their kids get out of the Capital County school system, they just leave. They go to Chatham, other places.
Vickers is a former member of the Solid Waste Advisory Board. He has a Ph.D. in environmental science.
And I felt I could add something to the board perspective on my background in industry and universities in the past.
As the Orange County landfill is closing down, Vickers says the best way forward with solid waste is to have Carborough, Chapel Hill, and Hillsborough all work together on one single solution. But while saying that Orange County has some of the best solid waste management in the state, Vickers also says it doesn't seem likely that the county will ever have a landfill again.
It's clear from the Solid Waste Advisory Committee, the politics of the area will not allow a waste management unit to be located in the county of Orange.
For a complete list of candidates in all the races in Orange County this year, you can view this story on our website, chapelboro.com. Election Day itself is Tuesday, November 5th. Aaron Keck, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The news around town this morning, you should start seeing the new vehicle registration renewal bill in your mailbox. Cars that need renewal beginning in September should begin receiving the combined property tax and registration renewal that the DMV has put together into one bill, the Tag and Tax Program. Information on vehicle property tax, registration, and inspection will be sent together. Registration renewal fees will remain the same. When the DMV receives the combined payment, the state will renew your registration and send the property tax to your county's revenue office. Vehicle owners will receive notice about 60 days before registration renewal is due. By mid-2014, all North Carolina vehicle owners will get the tax and tag bill. The Tag and Tax Program is created by a law passed in 2005 by the North Carolina General Assembly, integrating county tax rates and vehicle registration. The single bill is intended to ease the process of paying for property taxes and vehicle tax. Vehicle owners can pay online at the DMV's website, at your local license plate agency, or by mail. If you'd like more information on the Tag and Tax Program, you can view the News Around Town story on our website, chapelboro.com. Good morning. It is 8:20. 20 minutes after 8 o'clock at WCHL. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you by Fitch Lumber and Hardware in Carborough. Good morning. I'm Ron Stutz. Head football coach Larry Fedora says he's looking to continue changing the culture in his second year as Carolina's head football coach.
Yeah, it's very different, from last year to this year. And, a lot of things are different. That's all behind us. And I know our kids. Our kids know know us. There's just a much more comfortable feeling going into year two.
On Monday, Coach Fedora talked with members of the media at the ACC football kickoff in Greensboro, discussing, among other things, the building process, replacing running back Giovanni Bernard, which won't be easy, and the keys to his team's success this season. Coach Fedora says increasing familiarity brings some comfort with his players going into this second year.
It is so much more comfortable when a kid walks down the hallway of the facility and you know his name. I mean, you know, and you really know his name. Not only do you know his name, you know what he's made up of inside of it. And that's a big part of it. You know, you've been with him through a year. You have pushed him. Who's going to spit the bit out? Who's not? Who's going to be there in the fourth quarter? You know, who's going to fight, scratch, and claw for you? You know all those things about a kid.
Not surprisingly, the coach was asked how the Tar Heels would go about replacing Gio Bernard in the backfield.
Yeah, we're definitely not, you know, we don't have a guy that's going to replace Gio, you know, because nobody's as short as Gio was. So all of them are taller than him. So, but we've got some depth there, some quality depth.
A little attempt at humor there by the coach. And Fedora's high-energy, up-tempo offense, much of the onus ultimately falls on the quarterback's ability to make big throws and good decisions in crucial moments. Coach Fedora says he's confident in his senior quarterback, Bren Renner.
But the biggest thing that he understands is that he's got to take care of the football. He knows that if we don't turn the ball over, we got a chance to win each and every game that we play.
The upcoming rivalry game against South Carolina on August 28th, which really opens up the whole college football season, has everybody in Tar Heel Nation all fired up. Coach Fedora is relishing this opportunity that this game presents.
And so, you know, it's a chance for us to showcase our program and show where we are in year two in this building process, in this process of changing the culture at Carolina. You know, so everybody's going to have the opportunity to see that.
Even if the Tar Heel offense remains potent, Coach Fedora points out the importance of a solid defense and getting pressure on the other team's quarterback.
But you know, it doesn't matter how good you're in the secondary. If you don't get pressure on a quarterback, they'll pick you apart nowadays. Everybody knows how to throw the football. And so we've got to get pressure. If you can't get it with four, you got to get it with five. I mean, and if you can't get it with five and you got to get it with six, it's going to be a big play. Somebody's band's going to play a bunch.
Coach Fedora says the team needs a singular focus game by game and even play by play.
I'm a very strong believer in just, you know, just worrying about one game and then really breaking it down beyond that and just worrying about one play. I mean, if you can learn how to focus on just being the best you can be on this play and nothing else, you know, you look up and all of a sudden, wow, you made, you know, it was a good play. And then you focus, you do the same thing again, and over time you look up and, wow, we played a great game.
If you'd like to hear all the comments from Coach Fedora at the ACC football kickoff in Greensboro, you can view this story on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. 8:23, 23 minutes after 8 o'clock at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
For those of you who thought J.J. Redick was creepy at Duke, wait till you hear the latest. This is Art Chansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. Like Danny Ferrier, Christian Laettner, and Greg Paulus before him, J.J. Redick was one of those Dukies we love to hate. No matter how many points he scored and how we feared the sight of him spotting up at the three-point line, and even after Tyler Hansbrough ruined his senior game at Cameron and Redick personally shot Duke out of the 2006 NCAA tournament, we were still glad to see him go. Gone, but apparently not forgotten, especially with the story that broke Tuesday about the weirdest legal agreement that may ever have been written. This happened a few years ago when Redick was a rookie for the Milwaukee Bucks, and his hot model girlfriend Vanessa Lopez informed him that she was pregnant. According to the legal records uncovered by the muckrakers at the website Media Takeout, there was no acknowledgement of who was the father of Lopez's unborn child. Basically, as the MTO story reported, Lopez agreed to have a legal abortion on the condition that Redick agreed to maintain a relationship with her for at least 1 year. So the couple signed on the dotted line. Lopez would have an abortion and Redick would pay for it. And afterward, they would continue as friends or dating partners for one full year, presumably to find out whether they still cared enough about each other that someday they might marry and Lopez might get pregnant again. I'm serious. If you don't believe me, Google J.J. Redick's abortion agreement. And let me make it clear, with all the heartache this state is currently going through regarding legalized abortion, I'm not making fun of anything except that J.J. Redick is involved in the weirdest story ever. Oops, I already said that. Anyway, after the pregnancy was terminated and they continued their relationship for the following year, Redick could get out of it by paying Lopez $25,000. Lopez could get out of it by simply signing something that said she no longer wanted the pretty boy baller in her life. And there was one more part to the weirdest story ever about J.J. Redick. If after all this came to pass, and either Redick or Lopez ended the relationship, any contact from one to the other would be considered legalized stalking. The relationship ended, and nothing has happened since. But stay tuned. Redick just signed with the Clippers, and Lopez lives in L.A. This is Our Chance, Steve. See ya.
Attention, Carolina fans. Fitch Lumber and Hardware is a whole lot more than just wood and nuts and bolts. Whether you're building your dream home, adding on, or just maintaining what you've got, we can help lead you in the right direction. Doors, windows, siding, roofing, paint, you name it, we can help you with it. And don't forget about our key and lock services and our custom millwork shop. So stop by Fitch Lumber and Hardware in downtown Carrboro or check us out online at fitchlumber.com. Go Tar Heels.
Summer is finally here, and it's time for that well-deserved family vacation. The road is calling, and right now at Performance BMW, you can get exceptional offers, such as financing as low as 0.9% for up to an unbelievable 72 months on select certified pre-owned models, while other financing options are as low as 2.9% for up to 72 months, such as the 2010 BMW 328i for $384 per month.
Wow!
At Performance BMW, your options are virtually limitless. Performance BMW is known for the promise and the wow. The promise is your guarantee you'll always receive extraordinary service from expertly trained people, all for a superb value. Visit PerformanceBMWChapelHill.com, where you can also read customer comments about their award-winning service. BL 1853, 72-month purchase at 2.9% APR, $2,500 due at signing, excludes tax, tag, and 549 dock fee. Based on selling price of $27,861, financing with approved credit through BMW FS on select models for specified terms. See dealer for details. Take delivery before June 30th, 2013. Certified pre-owned BMWs come with a protection plan for up to 6 years or 100,000 miles from the original purchase date. BMW is the ultimate driving machine. 2013 Center of Excellence and Volume Leader.
And now it's time for the professionals. Local service, daily insights.
I'm Asa Goldenberg. I'm the business administrator for Dr. Jeff Kennedy, Richard Wagner, and Leland Webb at the Kennedy Dental Group. What's nice about our patients is that they'll see any of the doctors because they're all kind, good people, but they're definitely different personalities, but you're always going to get the same quality of care. It doesn't matter which doctor you're going to see. Dr. Wagner is one of these personalities. He's super outgoing and friendly, and he loves to talk about sports, and he's always talking people up. So his patients tend to really like to talk and chat, and he's just friendly and outgoing. Dr. Webb sort of has this subtle humor, and he's pretty laid back, but he comes up with some pretty funny one-liners. Dr. Kennedy is very ethical in so many ways. He really looks out for his patients. He's looking for overall oral health. He's really trustworthy. All the doctors are very trustworthy, very honest, very ethical. We're never going to give you something that you don't need, and we're always going to make our honest recommendations. We feel so much at home at work, actually, that it's easy to make other people feel at home and comfortable when you're happy and comfortable where you are. We anticipate our move will be in the fall, and we're really excited about it. We're moving to the old WCHL building, which is kind of across from Eastgate there where the radio towers are. It's been a long time coming. We're excited.
This has been the Professionals on WCHL, local service, daily insight.
This is Jay Kreller, realtor with Tony Hall & Associates. I'm a history teacher by degree and believe firmly that looking backward is a great tool in looking forward. Everyone wants realtors to predict the future as they launch into one of the biggest investments of their lives. We can't do that with absolute certainty, but we can employ all the tools at our disposal, including looking back at historical trends, and acknowledge that while the past does not equal the future, it can often help us help you understand what it might bring. Experience matters. This is Jay Kreller with Tony Hall & Associates, where we don't just list houses, we sell them.
Are you looking for new customers? Try Our Local Deal, brought to you by WCHL and the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce. You offer a deal to the community from your business, and folks purchase it. Everybody loves a deal. With Our Local Deal, your company or organization is featured on 97.9 FM WCHL, on the site at OurLocalDeal.com, and through social media. Want to try the best marketing deal in town? Visit OurLocalDeal.com or call us at 919-933-4165.
Good morning, it is 8:30 in WCHL, and your Chapel Hill Carrboro weather brought to you by the all-new Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, which can host private parties on a patio with special indoor-outdoor capabilities. Guests can lounge and enjoy their favorite dishes crafted to order by the Tobacco Road chef. Tobacco Road Sports Cafe at East 54. 74 degrees for the Hill, 73 in Carborough this morning. Partly sunny, scattered showers and thunderstorms in our forecast for the afternoon. At least a 40% chance of it. Our high today about 90. Also 40% chance of rain tonight with a low in the upper 60s. Tomorrow we're looking at cloudy skies again with partly sunny skies. Chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Not as warm tomorrow. High tomorrow about 80 degrees. So definitely a cooling trend. Still chance of rain is 40%. Tomorrow night we'll have a 40% chance of rain. This is getting like a broken record. Partly cloudy skies, chance for showers and or thunderstorms, and the low tomorrow night in the low 60s. Looking ahead a little bit for your weekend, it looks pretty good. Clear skies for the most part. We'll have cloudy skies on Sunday, but Saturday ought to be pretty darn nice, and some good weather is definitely on the way, and a definite cooling trend, too.
This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station, and streaming live at chapelboro.com. There's an app for that.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. After Americans' phone calls and emails were tracked by the National Security Agency, some members of Congress have spoken out, including California Democrat Zoe Loughran.
I think that very clearly this program has gone off the tracks legally and needs to be reined in.
Today, a House vote to do that could take place. On CBS This Morning, senior correspondent John Miller on NSA Director General Keith Alexander's challenge to quiet some surveillance fears.
Look, here's the haystack. In the entire 35,000 people that make up the NSA, there's only 7 manager positions that are authorized to even say okay to looking in the haystack. And we only do it when we have a foreign terrorist number, and we have to ask ourselves the question, is this bad guy overseas in touch with one or more people that could be a cell here?
Former NSA contractor Edward Snowden revealed the surveillance activities in the first place, and now there's word that Snowden's been granted documents allowing him to leave the transit zone of the Moscow airport where he spent the past month. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
I'm Ron Stutz. It's likely that voting rules are about to change here in North Carolina.
The actions of the legislature is not doing a lot for the confidence of our elected and political leaders in North Carolina.
Yes, you might see some changes in the way you vote in future elections. Some say these proposed changes are not for the better. They call it an attack on voter rights. The Senate Rules Committee passed House Bill 589 on Tuesday, which has since been in limbo since the House approved it several months ago. Now it's back. It's been revamped to include provisions that go far beyond the initial controversial voter ID proposal. WCHL's Rachel Nash has the story.
The long title of the voter ID bill is about restoring confidence in elections. Unfortunately, the actions of the legislature is not doing a lot for the confidence of our elected and political leaders in North Carolina. In fact, I believe it's diminishing that confidence significantly.
Matt Hughes, chair of the Orange County Democratic Party, says the new version of this bill will impact how North Carolinians vote on multiple levels. In addition to legislation requiring specific photo identification, it proposes to shorten the 2.5-week early voting period by a week and eliminate same-day voter registration during early voting, among other provisions.
In 2008, I think that the party that benefited the most from early voting were the Democrats. However, by 2012, everyone, Democrats, Republicans, independents, doesn't matter who you poll, they're supportive of it, they're supportive of expanding early voting. Convenient, it makes voting more accessible, and it really allows people to go in and vote at their convenience.
About 57% of votes casted in last fall's election in North Carolina were done during early voting, WREL reports.
It's really convenient to be able to also go and early vote and possibly change or update your registration or maybe register for the first time during the early vote period. And that's another thing that's removed from this bill, is you will not be able to do the same-day registration that is currently allowed under the law.
Hughes says he questions the motives behind this bill and feels that the legislature strategically waited for a ruling by the Supreme Court on the Voting Rights Act. Election law changes normally would have to be subject to authorization, but the Supreme Court's decision exempted North Carolina from federal review until a new process is created by Congress.
There's just a lot of bad ideas in this voter ID bill, which itself is just a terrible idea. And I think it really comes down to really maneuvering the electorate in a way that continues to perpetuate the status quo.
Some have criticized bringing this bill up during the final days of the legislative session, but Hughes says it's symptomatic of this General Assembly. Voting rights groups planted plastic pink flamingos in the lawn outside the legislative building Tuesday morning to remind North Carolina lawmakers that Florida reduced its early voting period in the 2012 election, cutting early voting from 14 to 8 days. According to state officials, this led to six-hour lines on the final day of early voting, and an estimated 200,000 Florida voters gave up without casting their ballots. If the Senate passes this bill, it will then have to pass in the House, where many anticipate disagreement over certain provisions. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Your local airport in Chapel Hill isn't closing, at least not yet. Horace Williams Airport is not going to close in spite of the media attention that was given to an item inserted as a rider in the budget bill that called for it to close on August 1st. The consensus in the legislature is that the item was placed in the House budget bill as a bargaining chip with Senate Rule Chairman Tom Apodaca, who has a reputation as a strong defender of the UNC airport. There's currently no scheduled date for the closing. UNC plans to close it to make room for Carolina North, whose start has been delayed because of lack of funding. UNC's AHEC program has long ago moved its operations to Raleigh-Durham International, and the airport here in Chapel Hill, Horace Williams, is still being used as a private airport for private planes. Reporting by the Chapel Hill News found that teachers in the Chapel Hill Cumberland City school systems who complained that the MSL test not only had bad questions, but that the same test was given on different days over a three-week period. WCHL's Rand Northam has more on this story.
Executive Director for Community Relations for the Chapel Hill Carborough City School System, Jeff Nash, says that issues with the measure of student learning tests are a statewide issue, not a local school system issue, and he points to the testing on different dates as a source of the problem.
If one student takes the test on Tuesday and a friend takes the test on Friday, they may very well have a discussion about what was on that test.
Nash says that this is an even more troubling possibility given the technology modern students use.
This is even bigger because students can put things up on Facebook or they can tweet out the questions, and there's just a more widespread statewide conversation going on among students.
He says CHCCS is talking with the state's Department of Public Instruction to see if it could move forward with the MSL test being held on the same day in the future.
There may have to be some changes there. That's something that we're talking about, and probably every school district is taking a look at.
Nash says students who took the MSL test were not required to sign an honor pledge. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Legislation heading to the governor's desk allows North Carolina charter schools to follow the lead of local traditional schools on criminal history checks for employees. A negotiated final version of the bill passed the House and Senate on Tuesday. The measure creates more rules to govern a growing number of public charter schools, but drops plans to create a separate panel to oversee them. The legislation would essentially retain an advisory commission already in place to make recommendations to the State Board of Education. The proposal retains the current requirement that at least half the teachers at charter schools meet state certification requirements. Earlier versions of this bill would have allowed charter school directors to decide whether to check job applicants for any criminal history. And in other legislative news, North Carolina lawmakers have approved a bill greatly expanding where concealed handguns are legally allowed. The Republican-backed bill, approved by both the House and Senate on Tuesday, allows concealed carry permit holders to take firearms into bars and restaurants and other places where alcohol is served, as long as the owner doesn't expressly forbid it. The measure will also allow concealed carry permit holders to store weapons in locked cars on the campus of any public school or university. Guns will also now be allowed on greenways, playgrounds, and other public recreation areas. The final bill dropped a controversial provision that would have repealed the long-standing law requiring a background check and permit issued by county sheriffs for handgun purchases. The measure now heads off to the governor. WCHL News Time, 8:39. 21 minutes until 9 o'clock. WCHL, 75 degrees in Chapel Hill. Warming up to about 90 today. Full forecast coming up just a few minutes here. Right now, Brian Burnham joins us. And Brian is here to tell you all about Chapel Hill-based Lucky 13 Cyclists raising money for the UNC Lionberger Cancer Center. Brian, how are you connected to all this? And what's this all about? Brian Burnham. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we are actually calling in from West Yellowstone National Park right now, or the town of West Yellowstone, just west of the park. We just finished riding across it yesterday and are starting 3 days off here to try to get some rest. We've been on the road here for, I think, about 45 days now, riding from Maryland to where we are, which is about 2,200 miles.
You have taken a bunch of members of Boy Scout Troop 845 with you, and it's quite a group and quite an adventure for everybody involved in this. How did all of this get started? Who came up with the idea for this?
This is actually, I think, this is our fourth trip for Troop 845 going across the country. Did a trip in 2005, 2007, 2010, and so the guys are kind of used to every couple of years we do a cross-country bike trip. And we've been doing it for the Leinberger Cancer Center for the last three times across now. So when we're doing a ride, we end up doing it for them as well. So it's been, I guess, just a number of years in the making right now.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity and adventure that nobody involved will ever forget. I know that leading this group must give you a thrill just to provide this opportunity for all these other people.
It does. It's a good time. It's tough right now. It's 6:30 in the morning here, and we just rode a lot of miles yesterday, so everybody's really tired right now. But once we get up and get some breakfast in us today, I think we'll be pretty excited about it again.
You know, I know that you had a fundraising goal of $30,000. What's that money going to be used for?
So Leinberger uses it for cancer research, and also this year, for every $15,000 that we raise, they send one of their pediatric oncology patients to Victory Junction. So we wanted to raise $30,000 and send two kids to Victory Junction, which as of last week, we hit our $30,000 goal. And are just hoping to, I don't know if we'll make $45,000 in the next couple weeks, but we'll see.
Brian, it is really something, quite an undertaking for you to do this, and we certainly appreciate that because you're helping enrich not only these young people's lives, but just helping the whole community and certainly helping the cause of cancer research money. Relate to us, if you would, a couple of maybe neat experiences about being on the road with all these high school boys. I know that gets interesting sometimes.
Let's see. One of the things that we've encountered this time is that people are taking this in a lot. We made a scouting magazine blog, and so along the way people have either read about us or know that we're coming. And so they volunteer to either take us in or buy us dinner or things like that. So we've met a lot of people that way, stayed with people along the way, gotten showers, laundry, dinners, things like that. And it's interesting to just meet different troops and different families across the country, kind of see where they're coming from and kind of share stories and interact with them a little bit.
I know that, as the song says, wherever you go, even if you're at the Grand Canyon or wherever you are here in America, people are people, right?
Yes, indeed.
Well, I know that you also are interested in having folks continue to make contributions. You need to raise some more money, of course. And tell us about your website and your blog and how folks can get involved.
All right. Well, our website is lucky13quicktrip.com. And if you're a Twitter follower, you can follow us at lucky13biketrip. We have kind of daily updates going out through Twitter. We send photos. We had just posted some photos from Yellowstone Park from our ride yesterday. And you can also donate online. There's a Donate Now link right there. And so you can donate via credit card online or write a check to Leinberger that way. You can also track to see how much your donation helped us out. There's a live feed of how much we've raised on the website. And then there's photos from our trip that we've taken and posted so far as well.
Brian, you're a courageous guy to do this, to lead this group, the Lucky 13 Cyclists, and certainly we appreciate that, but how does this, when you look back on this, I mean, this is like, what, the fourth time you've done this?
Fifth trip.
A fifth trip, okay. When you look back on this, what has been the big, I know that a lot of people have gotten benefit from this, but how has it benefited you?
A tough one. I just enjoy the trip. I enjoy the camaraderie of being out here. I mean, there's 11 of us right now. We had one guy had to go home because of a bum knee, but there's, I mean, anywhere from 10 to 15 people each time. And so just throughout the years, just the way I get to know all the cyclists and everything out here has been great. So it's a huge community and family type thing. And then it's just truly the adventure. I mean, I just like living on my bike out of a couple bags and seeing all lines of the country time and time again.
It's amazing. Well, congratulations to you, Brian Burnham, and also to Boy Scout Troop 845 and the Lucky 13, and all the parents who are back home following the progress. And congratulations on reaching your goal of $30,000 helping out the UNC Limeburger Cancer Research Center, which is a pretty amazing place on its own.
Yes, it is.
Brian, continued safe travels.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks for checking in with us. It's 8:45 at WCHL. I am amazed by what they're doing. I mean, that is incredible. They're Grand Canyon right now, going all over America. I mean, that is really a cool experience for everybody involved. Coming up next on WCHL, Lou Margolis has today's commentary.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Salemson, Chief Executive Officer of Corporate Investors Mortgage Group, and I'm proud to lead Chapel Hill's only locally owned mortgage bank. Home mortgage interest rates remain at historic lows, so whether you're looking to purchase the home of your dreams or simply looking to refinance your existing mortgage, Corporate Investors and I are here to help you every step of the way. Call us at 929-6116 or visit us on the web at CIMGINC.com. Go Heels!
If you're over 60 and young at heart, you're looking for more than just a place to live out your years. You're looking for the Cedars of Chapel Hill. Our unique community in Metamot offers you all the independence and financial benefits of owning your own home without all the hassles, so you can pursue other goals and also enjoy the peace of mind of having a continuing health care plan in place. Make your next chapter in life your best chapter. Call us to learn more about the Cedars. Life has been good to you. At the Cedars, it gets even better.
Do you know how sometimes certain things will happen that make you feel older than you really are? This is Berkeley Grimble, and that happens to me when folks come into Grimble Jewelers and ask if my dad started the business. No, my dad was a high school principal. I started Grimble Jewelers in 1985 in 350 square feet in Carmel Mall with two small cases of jewelry which I had made. So for 28 years, we have had the pleasure of helping all the smart, fun, enlightened people who live in our great community with all their jewelry needs. But my dad did teach me a lot. Always admit your mistakes and be in relentless pursuit of the truth. And I've tried to make those the guiding principles for Grimble Jewelers. He also taught me that if you have to get ahead by running down the competition, you must be hiding something. So I want to give heartfelt thanks to all of our wonderful customers who have kept us going for 28 years, and I look forward to the next 28. And you know, come to think of it, I could apply for Social Security next year, so I guess I am kind of old.
Bring the kids, welcome your neighbors, and leave the work week behind. Hi, this is Michelle at the Carolina Inn inviting you to join us for Fridays on the Front Porch every Friday starting at 5 p.m. Fridays on the Front Porch provides the perfect atmosphere for kicking back, relaxing, and getting a jump start on the weekend. Enjoy great food, live music, and fun times under the shady oaks and magnolia trees. There's no cover charge and no reservations to attend. For more information, visit CarolinaInn.com.
Hi, this is Randy Voller, Mayor of Pittsburgh. You're listening to WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz, the North Carolina Association of Broadcasters Personality of the Year.
All right, thank you, Mayor. It is 8:48, 12 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Lou Margolis. Two torches stand guard next to the shield of UNC, emblazoned with Lux et Libertas, light and liberty. It is as if the two torches are shining as bright a light as possible on the term Lux, a metaphor for the search for truth that is at the heart of a great university. As we sadly know, UNC seems to need more than two torches in the search for truth about the scandals arising from the Department of Athletics. The latest revelation is that efforts seem to have been made, or at least there was serious concern that efforts would be made, to alter a report in preparation last summer by a subcommittee of the Faculty Executive Committee to investigate fake courses and other irregularities linked to the eligibility of athletes. Although probably not at all the intent of those who sought to change the draft report, the apparent reasoning behind these efforts is a straightforward indictment of the NCAA's harm to the mission of UNC. The quote from one of the emails is, "The worry is that this could further raise NCAA issues, and that is not the intention," unquote. Let's explore the reasoning. On the one hand, let's assume that the NCAA is a clumsy, Byzantine, bureaucratic nightmare with hopelessly complex rules and regulations that probably make agents from the Internal Revenue Service blush. Recognizing this, UNC or any rational actor would make great efforts to avoid raising NCAA issues, to use the phrase from the email. On the other hand, let's assume that the NCAA is the consummate Lady Justice, securely blindfolded and holding the most perfectly balanced scales. If contacts by the athletics department were indeed responsible for the dubious enrollments, that is, if UNC had violated rules, then, unfortunately, there could well be motivations to avoid raising NCAA issues. Either the NCAA is so bad that it's worth any effort to avoid its attention, or the NCAA is so good that it's worth any effort to avoid its attention. When asked why his football teams rarely threw passes, Woody Hayes, the legendary and disgraced coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, used to say that three things can happen with a forward pass, and two of them are bad. It seems that when it comes to the NCAA, two things can happen, and both undermine the missions of universities. So what is the purpose of the NCAA? Why does UNC belong? This is Lou Margolis.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT.
What You're Saying on the Street.
I'm Michael Pappage. In the PJ Harrison case, charges were recently dropped against the UNC player for possession of marijuana. We hit the streets to find out if you think UNC should still punish Harrison.
My name is Ricky Devon Cleaver, live in Chapel Hill. Got to treat everybody fairly. The judicial system is kind of shady on a little scale balance and justice system, but it's all right.
Rose Hetzel, Hillsboro. I'm sure that the coach will make the proper decision as to this. He's been found innocent, so he needs to go ahead and play.
Kim Park in Chapel Hill. I think that if he was found with those things on his person, that yes, he needs to be treated just like anybody else and not given any preferential treatment.
I'm MJ, and I'm in Chapel Hill. I think they should do an in-house investigation.
Do you think UNC should still punish PJ Harrison after his charges were dropped?
Brett Phillips, Chapel Hill. I would say he would need to be punished just because it brings a bad light to the university and it says that athletes are not held to as high of a standard as maybe me or any other non-basketball or non-athlete at the university.
Kevin Perry, Chapel Hill. No, I mean, they already dropped the charges. So it should be over with. And plus, I'm a big fan of PJ. I like him a lot.
Margaret DeFratter, and I live in Chatham County. I think that's going to have to be decided by the athletic department. They're going to have to look at all the facts and look at the criminal justice system.
Piper Honigman in Carborough? No, I think that's all right. I guess someone knows more about the case than I do. I don't really know much about it.
That's What You're Saying on the Street. On 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at IGotFixed.com.
Good morning. It is 8:52, 8 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL. This is Rod Stutz.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
A few weeks ago, the New York Times took notice of the work of a Chapel Hill filmmaker, Olympia Stone, and her award-winning film, The Cardboard Bernini. Well, maybe there is some debate about the attention the New York Times is giving our town and our state, but I think it's something to celebrate, especially since the article about our neighbor, Olympia, or maybe you know her better as Posey Stone, was on the front page of the art section of the Times, illustrated by big, bold color photographs. I still think this kind of attention is something special for our town. But even more to celebrate is the message of the film itself. In one sense, it's a simple narrative that follows the work of artist James Grasshow through years of creating a cardboard sculpture inspired by Lorenzo Bernini and his fountains in Rome, like the Fountain of Trevi, whose design Bernini influenced. You remember that fountain. It was made famous in the movie Three Coins in a Fountain. But why would anybody want to try to copy the work of a classic artist and do it in cardboard? Well, Stone's film gives its viewers an opportunity to develop answers to such questions by following Grasshow from the beginning to the end of his project. Something that sets Grasshow's cardboard fountain apart from most art forms is that the project has a definite ending and a planned destruction. Completed after several years of intense work, In 2010, the cardboard version of Bernini's fountains was displayed at venues in New York City and other cities. And then, in 2012, Grassow gave the work to a museum in Ridgefield, Connecticut, with instructions to place it outside the building so that it could be destroyed gradually by falling rain, and that the museum visitors could follow its disintegration. In Stone's film, Grassow explains his commitment to the cardboard fountain and its destruction, saying, "Ashes to ashes and mush to mush." His plan to create and then watch the destruction of this work comes from the same spirit, I guess, as those Buddhist monks who sometimes visit Chapel Hill. And after spending weeks of intense work creating beautiful artwork of colored sands, they lovingly destroy it and pour the sands into Olin Creek. In this film, Grassow demonstrates that the enjoyment of art, as well as its beauty and meaning, can be enhanced by the promise of its upcoming destruction and by the knowledge that the final end is coming. And I thought at the end of the film that in that respect, it is like life itself. This is D.G. Martin.
Hey, thank you, D.G. Hey, remember Wayne Pond's word of the day? What's the word? How do you spell it? What's the definition? Call me right now, 919-929-WCHL. It's brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? And you can get a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Again, your number, 919-929-WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Allison DeMarco is a postdoctoral fellow at Frankfurter Graham Child Development Institute at UNC. She got in touch with WCHL because she wanted to nominate Maggie West as today's hometown hero.
Well, I think Maggie is really special because of an organization that she helped start at UNC. And that organization is the Community Empowerment Fund, and it's one of the projects at the Center for Social Justice, the Campus Y at UNC. When I met Maggie working on Project Homeless Connect, I was really impressed with her dedication to working on poverty issues in our community, and then very excited to learn about this organization that makes microloans. So it's a domestic microfinance program. I had heard a lot about some of these in other countries doing neat things, helping struggling entrepreneurs who had disadvantaged circumstances, and was really excited to hear this was going on right here on our campus and in our community.
There's quite a lot of outreach that goes on with Maggie West and her amazing team. And in short, her work is inspiring.
They are working to target individuals in our community who are homeless or at risk of homelessness. They did outreach at Project Homeless Connect, but they also do it on a regular basis at the different shelters, so Home Start and the Community House, the IFC runs, as well as some of the other transition homes or places where people in recovery are living, such as the Oxford Houses.
Folks, the future is secure with young people like Maggie West, who care so much about their community, and they have a willingness to get involved with other people's lives.
You know, I can't even remember now how I first heard of the Community Empowerment Fund, but then I got to talking with Maggie about that and was just really excited and impressed with the work they're doing there.
Since our initial conversation with Allison DeMarco, Maggie West has gone on to graduate from Carolina. Now she's the program coordinator for Community Empowerment Fund, upstairs above Julian's in downtown Chapel Hill. If you'd like to find out more, go to communityempowermentfund.org. And congratulations, Maggie West, a real success story. Today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Life is full of reasons to celebrate. Graduation, retirements, baby showers, anniversaries, weddings. Oh, the list goes on and on. For all these wonderful occasions, there are parties with dancing, laughing, sharing, and eating.
The Chapel Hill Restaurant Group now offers catering services for any and all special occasions. For more information about catering services offered by the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group, call 941-1630. That's 941-1630.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
Congratulations to Dan Murphy of Chapel Hill, called in with the word of the day, inanition, I-N-A-N-I-T-I-O. It means an exhausted condition resulting from a lack of food or water, or it can mean the absence of social or moral vitality, Wayne Pond used to describe the legislature. That's our word of the day. And Dan Murphy gets a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Thank you very much. It's going to be partly sunny, 40% chance of rain later on in the day. Hot and muggy. High today, about 90 degrees.
Local news all day. Breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM. WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel Station.
It's 9 o'clock.
And now, CBS News, presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development, where commerce plus social equity plus...